climb in and hold on.
We're driving the conversation.
It's the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota.
Iran is denying any involvement in the drone attack on a U.S. base in Jordan that killed three Americans. But there are new developments that have come about in just about the last hour. Joining me by phone right now is Fox News Radio's Jonathan Savage. Jonathan, what is the very latest on all of this?
Hi there, Jolynn. Yes, what we've learned in the last hour is that the drone that was coming towards this U.S. base in Jordan that killed three U.S. troops and injured 34 got past the air defenses because it was mistaken for an American drone that was expected to return to the base at the same time. This has been confirmed to Fox News by a U.S. official. There was confusion on the base as to whether the incoming drone was the American one or whether it was an enemy drone fired, as we now have learned, by a militia backed by Iran. There's also a discussion that one of the reasons why the drone was detected late was because it was flying very low. So yes, worrying development for the U.S. military and the U.S. government.
And now the big question is what to do next. I have heard some people chattering about the fact that perhaps this is a plot to get the U.S. involved in a conflict in that region. Are you hearing anything about that?
I think that the motivations of these groups that have been attacking U.S. facilities, and let's remind ourselves, over 150 times since the war between Israel and Hamas began on October 7th. They have sort of two motivations. Firstly, they want to respond to U.S. support for Israel because they support Hamas. And secondly, there are more than 3,000 American soldiers in Iraq, in Syria, and as we've learned in the last 24 hours, in Jordan as well. And these extremist Shia Muslim groups, they want rid of the American soldiers. They want them all gone. I don't think they're trying to get the U.S. heavily involved in a conflict with Iran. It doesn't necessarily work in Iran's favor to have a wider escalation in which U.S. and Iranian armed forces are going head to head. And that's probably why Iran isn't attacking U.S. forces itself. That's why these proxies are doing it on their behalf.
So even though it's not them directing it, they are in some way connected.
Yes, Iran denies having anything to do with it, and certainly they may not be directing these groups. In fact, there's evidence to suggest they didn't know that Hamas was going to attack Israel the way that Hamas did attack Israel, and may have been perturbed by the force and scale of the October 7th attacks. But it's roundly accepted that these groups are funded by Iran. Often they're trained by the Iranian military, and they use Iranian-made weapons, such as drones, to carry out their attacks. They are trying to increase Iranian influence on the region and target the enemies of Iran, such as the U.S., such as Israel, without Iran necessarily getting their hands dirty.
Aha, so they are trying to be very strategic about this. Well, Jonathan, there's no question that right now, in the wake of all this, it's a heartbreaking tragedy. Already, a lot of folks here on American soil are playing the blame game. Former President Trump and Nikki Haley both blaming Biden policies for the attack, and they are demanding retaliation. What are you hearing about retaliation?
Yes, President Joe Biden is, of course, the commander-in-chief, and he knows that there will be pressure on him now to respond, and respond fairly fiercely, I think, from some quarters. So far, the United States has responded in a fairly limited capacity. They've targeted the direct perpetrators of the airstrikes. They've attacked their missile silos. They've attacked their command and control operations. But none of that seems to have deterred these groups from continuing targeting their attacks on the United States. Analysts say that the United States now has to respond in a stronger fashion. We have been told that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has been engaged in constant discussions with senior military figures, including the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, over how to respond. Overall, the final say will be had in the Oval Office. In these circumstances, normally the president is given a menu of things to choose from with assessments of what the consequences would be. Analysts say that while, yes, it will likely be a stronger response than we've seen before, it will equally likely, they think, be calibrated to avoid a serious escalation. That's been a key part of U.S. policy in recent months. We've seen a huge diplomatic push from senior members of the administration, such as the defense secretary, such as the Secretary of State Antony Blinken, to put out fires as they spring up across the Middle East. They don't want this whole region to turn into a battlefield.
Exactly. And we are hearing some folks suggest that this could lead the U.S. into war. But you're getting a sense that there are efforts to do as much as possible without going to war.
I mean, if you leave the rights and wrongs of it aside and you realize that this is an election year, that President Biden is seeking re-election. And I think political analysts as well as military analysts have been looking at this, and they have been saying, does President Biden really want to lead American forces into the great risk, the great danger of a military conflict just, less than 11 months before he asks American people to re-elect him? That's why people would be very surprised, I think, if President Biden did choose an option that would lead to an escalation, because that would be fraught with significant risk both on the ground in the Middle East and in Washington.
Right, and it would be expensive in terms of cold hard cash, but the true cost would be the bloodshed of innocent lives, and I think that's something he cannot afford to overlook as well.
I think that's true. We have long enough memories, I think, to remember Afghanistan, to remember the war in Iraq, and of course, what happened after, the long time that American soldiers spent in these countries, the great risk they were exposed to, the attacks they were exposed to, and the deaths that came as a result. And that's, I think, why any American president now, in particular, would be very, very reluctant to get involved at a deep level in a conflict so far from home.
Right. And it is a lot of pressure, given the fact that it's an election year. All eyes are on President Biden. And sometimes in the wake of that, we forget that no matter what he decides, he's got to have that backing of Congress.
Yes. Now, I'm no political expert on the way that things work in Washington and in Congress, but there's no doubt that members of Congress from both sides are having their say on this right now. You've got the likes of Chuck Schumer, head of the Democrats in the Senate, saying that we must work to hold those accountable. His counterpart, Mitch McConnell, warning that the enemies are emboldened. But even if you have senior congressional figures saying these words, the question will be, how far would they be willing to support President Biden if he wanted to take strong military action? I think that this all, of course, remains to be seen. And these are judgments that are being made in the Oval Office and in the Pentagon right now.
And I'm sure we'll be hearing more in the coming days. Fox News Radio's Jonathan Savage, thank you so much for giving us the very latest.
Anytime. Thank you.
There's more to come on this Make a Difference Monday right after this.